will retain control of all of the key ministries, Interior, Foreign Affairs, Justice and Defense?
Well, the Mohamed Morsi has the right to name all the ministers, and that's what the Supreme Council has said. But no one is under any illusion that really these key ministries, which they are called the sovereign ministries in Arabic, will be appointed really by the military council. There's no way, I believe, Morsi would name anyone else other than Tantawi as defense minister, or really name someone who is a civilian reformist over the interior ministry. So, you know, we'll have to see where that goes.
And could the SCAF, the armed forces, just call for a new election in 4 months and Mohamed Morsi would be out?
Yes. The SCAF has made up the rules as it went along throughout this transitional period. This has been a flawed process from the beginning. And really, the biggest failure by many of the civilian political forces was to accept, back in March of 2011, the military to oversee what was a transition to a civilian democracy.
And where is Ahmed Shafiq?
Ahmed Shafiq apparently flew to the United Arab Emirates today with all of his children, some of his grandchildren, just hours after the general prosecutor opened up charges of corruption against him.
Wow. Well, Sherif Abdelkadous, I want to thank you for being with us. It's so great to have you back here in New York. I know you're headed right back to Cairo. It's Sherif Abdelkadous is Democracy Now! Senior Correspondent in Cairo. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
Your WUSB concert billboard for Tuesday, June 26th. Childish Gambino, Danny Brown, and Schoolboy Q will be at the Prospect Park Bandshell in Brooklyn, 7 p.m. Cano Estramera will be at the Central Park Summer Stage, 7 p.m. Dave Mason will be at the City Winery, 8 p.m. Stanley Clark and George Duke will be at B.B. King's for two shows, 8 and 10:30. Your concert billboard for Wednesday, June 27th. The Flatlanders will be at the Bolton Center in Bayshore, 8 p.m. WUSB-FM 35th Anniversary Benefit Concert, Sophisticated Interpretations, will be at the Stoller Center for the Arts, 8 p.m. Cadence Weapon will be at the Bowery Ballroom, Manhattan. The Old Town Gospel Choir will be at the New Haven Green, 12 noon. Buttered Soul will be at the Beach Hut at Kumsquat in West Hampton Beach. Your concert billboard for Thursday, June 28th. Cadence Weapon and Japan Droids will be at the Music Hall of Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Jen Chapin Band with Stephen Crump will be at 89 North in Patchogue, 8 p.m. Cassandra Wilson will be at the Blue Note for two shows, 8 and 10:30 in Manhattan. Stephen Kellogg and the Sixers will be at City Winery, 8 p.m. Cyrus Chestnut Trio with James Carter will be the Jazz Standard Thursday and Saturday, 8 and 10:30 p.m.
This has been today's Concert Billboard. Tune in each day to hear when your favorite performers are appearing at venues in the WUSB broadcast area, or maybe try out one you haven't heard before. The online version of the Concert Billboard at WUSB.fm has an upcoming schedule months ahead, so you know what to look forward to. Look for the WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook. Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
And you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 1 minute after 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night. Time for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, as we approach the end of June. Wow, really? That's incredible. It's just going so fast. And you know, tomorrow's Wednesday. Wednesday, June 27th. Does that day really mean nothing? Well, June 27th happens to be the anniversary of WUSB. Yeah, it's true. We're going to be 35 years old, if you can believe that. 35 years old. This place went on the air on June 27th, 1977, as an FM station, that is. Prior to that, it was an AM station, an AM carrier current station, back in the really old days. But June 27th is globally recognized as WUSB's anniversary day, and 35 is kind of a milestone in and of itself. So, yeah, wow. And we're having a special concert, tomorrow right here at Stony Brook. And if you're in the listening area, or if you actually feel like booking a plane ticket and heading over here, which, you know, you could do worse things. I will certainly say that. Here's the information. You know, I'm trying to figure out where the promo is for this thing. I will get on another rant, but I don't want to. We used to have a system where we had these things known as carts. You know, picture like a really big cassette. Or better yet, picture an 8-track. Cassette. Now, I'm sure we all know what those look like, even though probably very few of us have ever actually touched one, but you know the basic size. Each one of those, in all radio stations everywhere, held an announcement. They held one announcement each, or one commercial on some commercial stations, or all commercial stations actually would air on these carts. They were basically tape loops. It was a piece of tape that just went around in an endless loop, and what you do is you hit the button and it would play it. And then it would, in broadcasting terms, queue up. So that the next time the next person went to play it, it would start at the beginning. Because it was a circle. It was a cyclical thing. And it worked. It was analog. It could degrade over time. It could be erased. But you knew where it was. It was always there. Yeah, it took up space. Each one of these things represented another announcement or another concert billboard or another song even. Some radio stations actually would use this to play music. It didn't really sound that good. But a lot of people couldn't tell anyway. We always try to play the best sound quality with music, whether it be vinyl or now compact disc or even online. But back then, that was how you played announcements. So I could just go through the rack. And you know what? I'm gesturing towards a rack that's no longer there. Hasn't been there in years. But that's where we used to hang all the carts. And you could arrange them. You could color code them. You could basically... It was very easy to find things. But now we have this digital machine. It's actually a horrible machine. It's called a DigiCart. I can't stand it. Never liked it. Never will like it. And I think it's proprietary and it's completely outdated. And just very inefficient. It's got more buttons than you would ever need. Just like every DVD remote control. Why do they have so many buttons on those things? I've never yet used the numerical buttons on any DVD remote. I can't figure out what they're for. And so, you know, you're trying to stop the DVD or pause it, and you're always trying to find these little tiny buttons and hitting the wrong one. Why? Well, who designs these things? It used to be so simple. Stop, play, fast forward, rewind. You know, that's all you need. Anyway, so getting back to this thing. Yeah, okay, so we have this this device where we play a lot of things. You know, like the concert billboard is on there and all the IDs and promos and public service announcements and whatnot. But if you don't know the name of something, how do you find it? I know we have an announcement in here for the WUSB benefit concert someplace. Is it under B for benefit? Is it under WUSB? Is it under 35th? Where is it? I don't know. I don't even know what section it's in. We have different sections. So the only way you can find things is by browsing. You have to turn this little dial and you go one at a time. It's two lines of text. That's all you get. Two lines of text. And so it would literally take me an hour to track something down if I didn't know the exact name of it or what section it was in. Whereas before I could just reach over and get something. Well, you know, there is good to be said for the ways of old sometimes. Things just made more sense in many ways. Lots of times they didn't make more sense. Very true, but in some ways they did, and we should not be afraid to say that. So that's why you're not hearing a promo, because I don't know what it's called. I will read off the website, which, yeah, that's digital, that's modern. I'm embracing that technology. In the past, I'd read a piece of paper. Today, I'm reading a website. On our brand new massive monitor, we have a new computer in here, and the monitor is bigger than the studio, which is causing problems. Because basically, we have to elbow our way in here, and it's getting a little cramped. But wow, this thing is big. I mean, I could stand all the way back at the wall and still be able to read what's on the screen without any problem. There's room for so much more. There really is. If you go to WUSB.FM, actually, you'll see the exact thing that I'm reading from right now, and you can take whatever action is needed. But basically, we're having an event called Sophisticated Interpretations. Sophisticated Interpretations. Yeah, it's a couple of $20 words there for you. And the cost is not much more than that to attend this thing. Songs that shaped the sound of college radio from 1977 to 2012. And if you're paying attention, those are the years that WUSB-FM has existed. So basically, it takes place on Wednesday, the 27th of June, which, if you've been paying attention, you'll know is tomorrow. It starts at 8 p.m., and it'll be at the Starnberg University Stoller Center Recital Hall. That's actually very close to where we are right now. It's the Fine Arts Center Complex, where all kinds of concerts and films and recitals and impromptu dance recitals and practices and things like that take place. It's probably the mecca of fine arts on Long Island. Yes, I said it. So anyway, if you go to WUSB.FM/pledge and enter the premium code of CONCERT20, CONCERT20. Why is it 20? That's not the price. It's not the date. It's not the year of the anniversary. Okay, well, I don't know. I don't really have an answer for that. But the premium code is CONCERT20. And there's also a premium code of CONCERT VIP. That gets you two tickets, and it includes preferred seating. In other words, if someone's sitting in a chair and you want the chair, you can kick them out yourself. You can personally pick them up and move them. And you also get pre-concert refreshments that those people won't get, and you'll also get to gather socially with some people that won't have anything to do with the people who you're moving. So yeah, if you want a little bit of that, that's the VIP treatment. But all details are on the main page of WUSB.FM. We have a lot of really good musicians, a lot of them from within our the confines of our walls here at WUSB. We have a lot of very talented people. But yeah, incredible. 35 years this place has been on the FM dial. And that is an accomplishment. Yeah, we've got that to look forward to. I've been going nuts dealing with the upcoming HOPE conference, Hackers on Planet Earth, which takes place July 13th, 14th, and 15th over in New York City, Hotel Pennsylvania, which is still standing and looks like it will be for some time. And we just put out the full speaker schedule, as we threatened to do last week. It's out now, and you can see just how many things will be happening in 3 days, July 13, 14, and 15. It's really incredible. We basically have three speaker tracks that start in the early morning and go until after midnight. And I think we have something like 101 panels in the scheduled track. We have more in the unscheduled track. We have over 150 speakers and more to come. And the speakers, the talks, the panels, they're only one part of the conference. That all takes place on the 18th floor of the hotel, but we also have the first floor and the second floor, and that's a massive space. It used to be a big retail outlet. It used to be, I think, a Sports Authority or something. So imagine a bunch of hackers taking over a sports authority without all the sports paraphernalia in there, and basically setting things up, making a network, making a community. It's almost like setting up a campsite, except we're inside and right off of 7th Avenue. It's really incredible. People are constantly walking past the place. We have these huge windows that look right out. And there we all are, several thousand of us, running a hacker conference for 3 days in the middle of Midtown Manhattan. People think it's impossible to do this kind of thing, but this is now the 9th time we've done it. More information on that, www.hope.net. It's going to get increasingly frantic until that actually happens. And we have the Yes Men giving a keynote address. And we've talked about the Yes Men on this program and on the other program as well. Always up to something. Impersonating various corporations or government agencies. The truly evil people of our world that plunder from the poor, pollute the environment. And sometimes the media is gullible enough to believe anybody who says that they're affiliated with these organizations, and they put them on the television, like the BBC did, or they interview them on the radio, or they get invited to conferences as representatives of these organizations, or they hold their own press conferences and purport to be members of various organizations. Well, they've made two movies and gotten the attention of millions of people throughout the world, and they will be our keynote speakers, one of our keynote speakers. I believe that's on Saturday the 14th. And we have William Binney, ex-NSA analyst, appearing on Friday the 13th. Hopefully that's not an omen. And if you've been listening to this radio program, you know that Kyle and I had a big adventure going down to the NSA. Not even going to the NSA, just going near the NSA. We never set foot on their actual property. Well, at least not beyond the fence that they say is restricted. We went to the parking lot of the museum, which is open to the public. But that was enough, because we were there for a little too long and looking a little too suspicious. We were questioned for about a half hour by no less than 4 NSA police cars. But we got a really good picture out of it. And that picture will be appearing in the new hacker calendar, which amazingly enough will be debuted at the very same Hope conference that I've been talking about. So yeah, it all kind of feeds upon itself, doesn't it? Oh, you know, this has got to stop. This huge massive screen has gone into screensaver mode, but it's like I'm on LSD or something looking at this. All different colors. It's at the end of 2001 going through the star chamber, whatever that is. It's really nice and pretty, but this is a radio station, not a movie theater. We're not supposed to be watching these kinds of displays. This is about work. It should go to black, you know, something nondescript that, wow, look at that. That's amazing. How do they do that? I mean, it's like a fractal. It just keeps going on forever and ever. You just kind of want to go over and look at it. Wow. This screen is amazing. I wish I could show it. It's frustrating. This is radio, but we have the best screen ever. We could probably run a TV station off of that thing. Wow. Okay. Someone's got to do something about that. It's going to really... I guess I could just hit the mouse. Okay, now I'm back to the website. Be staring at that throughout the evening. Okay, and of course... we won't be talking about sports the entire hour. No, we'll be talking about a little bit because Euro 2012 is still going on, and there were some moments that bear repeating that really have nothing to do with sports. You know, this is Kyle and I get into these conversations about the difference between sports and sport. And this is more about sport, about the beauty of athleticism and how teams interact and the cultural effects it has on society. That's really what this is about. It's not about following some mass appeal team, although to some people that is what it's about. But when something like this happens every 4 years for Euro, every 4 years for World Cup, it's just fascinating to see the different cultures at work. Now, there was one really incredible headline that I did not realize how funny it was until after it happened. And the people at Euronews, which is on Channel 103 in Cablevision land, I think the only cable network in the country that carries this channel. It's a European news channel. They had a headline that they were reporting the story. Greece had played Germany for the in the quarterfinal, and the winner, of course, goes on to the semifinal. Now, I was rooting for Greece because they're the underdog. I always root for the underdog. And Germany, you know, they just they win too much. And it's the same reason I don't like any team that wins too much. Don't like Manchester United. Don't like the New York Yankees. And Germany, yeah, you know what? You need to be taken down a couple of pegs. And Greece are just the people to do it. But no, they didn't do it. It didn't work out too well at all. But the headline when they reported the story was Germany. What was the exact headline? It's Germany defeats Greece's Euro hopes. Referring to Euro 2012, the competition. But if you've been following the news, you know that Greece has been battling with a decision as whether or not to exit the Euro and go back to their own currency. It's a real financial crisis. People there could lose a lot of money if that were to happen. They could lose a lot of money if that doesn't happen. It's really horrible. And Germany is one of the more prosperous nations in the EU. And they're also one of the more hardline nations as far as saying that these other countries that are having trouble paying their debts, well, we're not going to give them anything. They need to pay back everything that they borrowed, et cetera, et cetera. And it's sort of being seen as a negative influence towards them. So to see the headline that Germany crushes Greece's Euro hopes, and then on top of that, to see a still frame of Chancellor Angela Merkel jumping up in the air, cheering with both her hands raised. That was just too good. Too funny. Of course, you know, she was cheering at the goals being scored because she was at the game herself in the Ukraine. And she probably is still there, right? Because the final's going to be in Kiev. They still have to go through the semifinal, but I'm rooting for, who are they playing, Portugal? I am definitely rooting for Portugal. They are a pleasure to watch as far as if you just have them on and you see the foot play. Ronaldo is able to just hop over the ball when he's moving. It's the most incredible thing. You got to watch this if you have a chance. And it's not obliterated by too many commercials in the United States. It's artistry. It really is to see how somebody can basically manipulate a football. Of course, scoring the goal is really the intent, but it is amazing to see what people can do while they're trying to do that. And then we saw England go out a couple of days ago. That was kind of sad. They played Italy in the quarterfinal, and it was the most even game of the entire competition. Where basically they went 90 minutes without scoring a goal. And then they went another 30 minutes of overtime and no goal then either. And then they went to penalty shootouts. And I always think that's a bad way to decide a game. Penalty shootouts. You basically alternate one-on-one. Player shoots and goalie tries to keep the ball from going in. It doesn't always happen. And England has a very, very bad record as far as penalty shootouts. They basically extended that record, that curse. And so they're out. So Italy now goes on to meet Spain, I believe. Is that what's happening? And Spain are the champions from the last time. So it's going to be very interesting. You have these four teams. And no game today, which is why I'm able to look at the news. But tomorrow and Thursday, the semifinals, and then the final is on Sunday. And again, Italy is an amazing team to watch, too. They just, I don't know, there's something about them that just seems very warm and genuine. I guess I get that from the whole competition in general. You see a lot more human interaction on the field. It's not about opponents so much. The two teams themselves sort of form a team. It's very hard to explain. But you get people giving each other hugs and things like that and picking each other up when they get knocked down because they're playing against each other. Lots of times, they're actually teammates on their regular season teams. Because what you can do over there is you can have people from all different countries on a local team. Say Manchester United, they can have people from Spain and from Italy and Romania, whatever. Even the United States, they can import people on those teams. But for the national team, you have to be a citizen of that country. So you can have a situation where you have bitter rivals from one team in the league to another team in the league, or even in different countries, but you're on the same team when you're playing for your own country. And it's something I don't think we get here. Because we just have like a regular season and then some playoffs among those same teams and then it's over. But over there, it just goes on, and it's really, it's something to watch. It never seems to end. I mean, you can play in so many different methods, so many different ways. I'll just try and sum it up, but I'm sure I'm leaving something out. Basically, you have the regular season. We'll take England as an example. You have the regular season. I think it starts in August or September, goes on until May. And that's basically a league of teams. And there are many leagues of teams, too. But let's say the top league, which is known as the Premier League. I think they have, 20 teams in that league? And they play for however many games. And guess what? At the end of the season, the team that has the most wins or the most points, 3 points for a win, 1 point for a tie, the team that has the most points at the end is the champion. That's it. Very simple. You're at the top. Okay, you win. You won the league that year. Oh, but that's not all. That is not all. There is something else called the FA Cup, the Football Association Cup. And basically what that involves every single team in the country, whether they're professional or amateur or whatnot. And I believe there are something like over 800. Maybe it's only professional teams, because I think there are a lot more than that if you include amateur. So yeah, imagine that, 800 teams competing in a single competition. Now, it's a lot harder for the lower teams. And I'm really fascinated by this. What is at the very, very bottom? We're always interested in what's at the top. I want to know what's at the bottom. Who's at the very last league, at the bottom of the ladder? I'm told that people from pubs basically form their own teams. You go in, you form a team, that's your team, and you get to play in the FA Cup. And in a league as well. If you do really well in the league, you go up another league, and theoretically you could keep going and eventually find yourself playing Manchester United someplace. That actually, it doesn't happen very often, but it did happen. A team actually known as Wimbledon, where they played the tennis. They had a football team, and they started really far down, and they wound up moving higher and higher up and eventually winning the championship. Problem was, they were a small team. They didn't have a very big stadium. And they actually, and something that's extremely rare over there, they wound up moving to another town, which is only about 50 miles away. But still, it was incredibly controversial, because over there, teams do not move. Teams are they're like fire departments in a town. You don't just pack up your bags and go someplace else. You're part of the town. And you have very fierce loyalty. And if you go to another town, odds are that there's going to be another team there already, so you're not going to get accepted there as well, and you'll have a bunch of people hating you back home. But in this particular case, they moved to another town, which apparently was a new town. They I don't know how they find room in England after all this time to build a new town, but they did, and they moved over there. And the people in Wimbledon, even though it was only 50 miles away, were so upset they started another team, which I don't think has done nearly as well. So that's the kind of thing that happens over there. You occasionally have a team that's really far down and moves up, but it can lead to problems if they get too big. I believe London has something like 20 different teams. You know, we go nuts because we have three hockey teams in the area, but they have 20 football teams, and a lot of stadiums can hold 30,000 people or more. Yet they're able to support all this. It's really amazing. Anyway, getting back to the different ways you can play. So you have this FA Cup, has 800 teams, and basically they play week after week at the same time that the season is going on. And they get eliminated one by one or two by two. And towards the end of the season, there's actually also this competition going on that's sort of a massive playoff system. Sometimes it's the same team that wins both. Sometimes it's a different team. So one team is the league champion, one team is the cup champion. So it's like you have two different seasons going on at the same time. Wait, I am not finished. That is not all. Because what you also have, while this is going on, is you have an international competition of all the cup winners from the last season and all the league winners from the last season. That's going on at the same time, too. And it all has to somehow be scheduled so that there aren't conflicts. And picture this going on in every country, the league and the FA Cup equivalent going on in the same country while these international competitions are also being coordinated. And then on top of that, you've got the national competitions between countries. This is just one sport. It seems like everybody in England is playing it too, because I don't see how they can support as many teams as they have without pretty much everybody learning how to play and being part of something. It just, if you compare it to any sport in this country, it just completely dwarfs it. And it's just so complex and just fascinating to study and to watch how it all somehow unfolds year after year. And then to see it on the field, too, it's just really pretty pretty incredible and just fascinating to examine. And realize that so few people here understand how it works. I don't even understand how it works. And I'm trying to. So, I don't know who the champions are, really. I know Manchester City won this year. They won the league. I don't think they won the cup. But that's not what's important. What's important is who figures this out, how it somehow manages to work, and whose idea it was anyway. They have what's known as the National League System. Just going to very quickly read what I have here on that. The National League System basically comprises the seven levels of the English Football League system, which is immediately below the level of the Premier League and the Football League. Yeah, you see, okay, what have I started here? The Premier League, that's the one I was telling you about before. That's the one everyone pays attention to. That's basically got Manchester United, Manchester City, Liverpool, teams like that, Arsenal. And there are other leagues below that. There are other leagues below that. That's known as the Football League. And they basically have another 72 teams in three divisions. Yeah, and it's not divisions like East and West. It's divisions like, I don't know what they call them right now. Here they are. Football League Championship. It's stupid names. Football League Championship, Football League 1, Football League 2. Basically, it's a hierarchy. So you have 1, 2, and 3. The top one is the best. The second is the second best. Third is the third best. But none of those are as good as the Champions League, which is on top. Okay, I hope that makes sense. So you have basically four divisions there. Is it four? You know, yeah, and then there's another three someplace else. I don't know what those three are called. I'm really trying to understand this. Okay, so those are the, that's the Football League. And then you have the National League system, which is comprised of another 1,600 teams. Yeah, so you see how huge this gets and how completely insane England can be. And yet, when you consider, after all of that, after all of this frenzy for this one particular sport, all this organization, they have not won a competition since 1966. That's what was so sad about seeing them get eliminated. Because they obviously really like the game, but they just can't seem to win as a national team. All right. That's it. All right, I'm done. I'm done with the sports. It's very interesting. I'm not the only one. I'm going to read you a letter just to justify what I say. Good afternoon, Emmanuel. I'm a UK part-time listener of both Off the Wall and Off the Hook. Part-time listener? What does that mean? You mean you only listen to the second half of the show, maybe? Or every other word? Part-time listener. Well, okay, you know, if that works for you, if you can listen to us part-time and get something out of it, great, you know. You're saving time. You can spend that time doing something else, like gardening or learning a new skill or something like that. But you can always have us on in the background, too, you know. Sometimes there's little nuggets of information that you don't know where they are. Anyway, continuing here, although I'm not really a football fan myself, I do love to hear you co-educating. I'm sorry, where did I get a co from? I'd love to hear you educating the citizens of America about sports and the rest of the world. Have you watched any rugby? Oh, boy. You know, there's only so many hours in the day, and it's not so much watching it. It's figuring it all out, all the different rules and things like that. What I find amazing about football, soccer, is that everybody follows the same rules. It's like an agreement. It's like a treaty of some sort where everybody, you can't agree on anything between countries. Yet everybody plays by the same rules with this sport. Every single country. I mean, North Korea could just as easily say, you know what, we're going to put a 12th man on the field. And what are you going to do about it? Ha! But they don't. You know? America can say, well, you know what, we're declaring ourselves the winner, even though we're not going to play a game. Well, that's how we do foreign policy, but no. They play by the rules. There's something different. Something different when it comes to football. It's weird. Anyway, no, I have not watched rugby, but this listener goes on to write, it's somewhere between football and American football, meaning soccer and American football. If you're interested, there's an annual contest called the Six Nations, and you might be able to find coverage. You know what? It's quite possible. I've seen various other sports which seem kind of weird, like Gaelic football and Australian rules football and things like that. It just looks like madness. I see curling on the Canadian channels and Canadian football too, which is different from American football. So yeah, there are so many different sports out there. It's just, there's something so universal and international about what we call soccer and what the rest of the world calls football that's what draws me in more than the actual goal of the game. No pun intended. Anyway, the Tour de France cycling is the only sporting event I make an effort to watch. Signed, Pete. Thanks, Pete, for that letter. And yes, I've seen that too as well. And I'd like to see it in person someday too, because it's just an incredible event. I'm not quite sure how it works when you're a spectator, though. You basically see a guy on a bicycle go by, and that's it. Okay, we can go home now. Well, I guess you see a whole lot of people go by on bikes, but I don't know how you're supposed to really take that in. It happens in a second, and then they're gone. If there's one person you're rooting for, it's really, you don't get to see them compete. You get to see them whiz by, and you don't really know what happens to them after that unless you go home and watch TV. All right. Well, also, Kirk writes in to say that perhaps we need to do a fundraiser for a new microphone because this one keeps breaking down all the time. And Kirk, you might be right about that. It's been causing you problems for the last few shows. It's been causing me problems for the last few years, Kirk. Yeah, a long time. Don't know what's going on. Anyway, I hope you appreciate my landline number. It took me some effort to secure it. And yes, look at your number there. It's telephone. No, I'm not going to read your phone number out over the air. Other people might, but I'm not going to do that. I'll just say that it ends in 2600, and that's pretty cool. And good for you for taking some effort to get it. I don't think they just hand those out. All right, shall we take phone calls? Because we haven't done that in a while, and I've been yammering on about Euro 2012 the last few weeks. I'm sure it's driving people insane. What I have to do is fight with the Digicart machine here and find us an ID. I keep going into the wrong directory. Find us an ID that we can play while we go into delay land. This thing is just, yeah, okay. It's just driving me crazy. Where shall we see? I can basically scroll through here. It only gives you about maybe 15 characters, so you can't really tell, like, CTKBBALL. What does that mean? CTK, you know what, I'm just going to play that live. CTK B-ball ID. What could that possibly be? What is this? What is this?
Hi, we're the girls from Christ the King Basketball, and you're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. Go T-Wolves!
Oh, boy. How about that? Okay, so it was a basketball ID. I couldn't make out their school, but apparently it has CT and K in it. And then we have something called DNN Liga. We can't even fit the word legal in there for legal ID. So it's we don't know who DNN is. DNN a group? I don't know. Who are these people?
Damon and Naomi.
Damon and Naomi.
WUSB.
So I wouldn't know. I would, you know, on the old system, you could write down with your own handwriting the full name of these people, DNN. How am I ever going to? Okay. Let's see. What else? Okay, hang on. We're trying to find something. It has to be exactly 6 or 7 seconds long for it to work properly. Let me just give out the phone number. I see it's ringing already, which is good. If you're one of the people calling in, please stay on the line. Or if it hangs up on you, which it does sometimes, call right back because we are going to take phone calls. I'm going to play this thing. I don't get to hear it because it goes out over delay while I go into delay land. But basically, this is called Emmer String Q. Maybe it's the Emerson String Quartet. It could be something like that. I'll never know because it's going to go out over the air and I will not hear it. We'll be back in one moment. Our phone number is 631-632-WUSB.
Hi, this is Phil Setzer from the Emerson String Quartet, and you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
And we're back. And I don't know if it worked. And, you know, our headphones are not working for some reason, which is really frustrating. Why would they not work in this channel, but in the other channel they do work? All right, well, I'll just have to muddle through this. So, again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on WUSB. Oh, dear. You hung up. Why'd you hang up? You were ringing. Hang on. Let me just make sure that worked. Can we get a dial tone? Okay, it does work. So 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Let us know what's on your mind. Let's try another line. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Emmanuel. This is Bobson from Bulgaria.
You know, I should have just said, Bobson, why don't you call? Because no one else seems to do it like as quickly as you do anyway. So, wow. Bobson, I want you to tell us what's going on with you, but at the same time, I want to encourage people to call in, and by the time you finish, I want to see all four other lines lit. Is that asking too much? I don't think it is.
Oh, that's asking too much. I mean, you only have four lines on, so yeah, sure.
If I was doing one of those shows where I say the next four callers are going to get $10,000 each, and I do those shows sometimes.
Hey, that's not fair. I want some of that.
Well, you're on the phone already, so you're out of luck. But, you know, I occasionally have those kind of programs. Every time I do that, the phone calls, believe me, they come in. They sure, I don't pick up the phone, but the phone calls really come piling in. This is not going to be one of those shows, but I would just like to know that, you know, you're all out there and that you have something to say and some feedback. 631-632-9872, and as Bobson knows, the country code to the United States is 1.
Yes, there's a few people on the IRC channel right now, and I think all of us are listening.
Oh, yeah? And maybe you could ask them to call as well, you know, call from the land of IRC.
Well, here I am.
Well, the land of IRC, by the way, for those of you who don't know, is Internet Relay Chat. It's basically, it's been around for a long time. It's been around for decades, and it's basically a text-based way that people communicate in a channel or privately on the Internet, predated AIM. Basically, we have, I guess you go into the server known as irc.2600.net and go into the channel called, what's the channel called?
Cash Off the Hook. Off the Wall for this show and Off the Hook for the other show.
No dashes or anything like that?
What?
No dashes or hyphens or anything.
No, no. A single word made up of the three words that make up the title of the
show. You said hash, which probably a few people might misinterpret here. That's basically the pound sign, you know, which you'll see on your telephones. So pound, you join pound sign Off the Wall, and you'll meet other people that I've heard of the show, at least, if they're listening, maybe. So what's going on in Bulgaria?
Well, the summer's here with over 100 degrees of Fahrenheit in certain places that I had traveled to last weekend, which is not my favorite part of the year, but
it gets pretty hot in Bulgaria. I was there once in my life, and when I was there, it was hot. and there's no ocean or anything like that. So I think
there's the Black Sea to the east of here. So yeah,
and that's a boiling sea. Isn't that sea always boiling or something? Or is that it's like a bubbling?
No, it's not.
Okay,
as far as I know.
Why do they call it the Black Sea? Maybe. Is it oil? Or what exactly makes it black?
Well, historically, the sailing on it in the, you know, thousands of years ago and hundreds of years ago, the sailing in the early years of sailing, I guess, was not as safe as some people may have wished, and there were plenty of people lost, what I hear, before it was named the Black Sea.
Wait, so because people got lost sailing, they blamed the sea? They blamed it, they called it the Black Sea?
Well, that's one of the stories I heard. Another thing is the depth to which there's living creatures in it is significantly shallow, because the bottom part is filled with various things that make it
inhospitable,
I guess, to living creatures. So it's not.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, is it safe to swim in then with all this gloom and doom?
Sure it is.
All right. Well, it just sounds kind of scary. I mean, I'll meet you at the Black Sea. I don't know. I kind of avoid that if I could.
Yeah, I've been there myself. It's on in the summer, even in the winter at times.
It's not a black hole. I don't want to confuse people. It doesn't suck you in or anything like that and swallow all. Does it? It doesn't swallow the light, right? You can still see the sun when you're there.
No, nothing like that.
Okay, all right. Now, I just want to make sure, because we don't have anything like that here. We have Great Lakes. You know, we don't have the Black Sea. We have the Great Lakes. You know,
I've been to the Great Lakes.
We think of water in a positive way.
They're sweet water. It's not like... It's not salty, I guess, the water there.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, speaking of temperature... I actually went... I was looking at the forecast the other day. We were having a thunderstorm. And I was like, oh, boy, what else? Because, you know, we had this heat wave a week ago that I didn't even know about. It hit us by surprise. I wasn't paying attention to anything going on in the world. And I woke up one day and it was 95 degrees, whereas the day before it was something like 70. So I decided, okay, you know what, I'm going to look at the forecast because they're not liable to give scores to Euro 2012 on the Weather Channel. So I looked at... I just kept going as far ahead as it would go. And surprisingly, it went ahead about 3 weeks. And I've never heard of any kind of forecaster who can predict what's, you know, outside of the Farmer's Almanac, who can predict what's going to happen that far in advance. So I looked up the dates for hope. And according to this particular website, which is AccuWeather.com, they were claiming it's going to be 87 degrees, sunny and humid on Friday the 13th, 80 degrees on Saturday and less humid, and on Sunday... 80 degrees with times of clouds and sun. Now, you know, it sort of seems like a safe guess that in the middle of July it's going to be like that, but I'm going to hold them to it and see just how accurate this actually can be.
Well, I don't expect any accuracy that far in advance because of, you know, various computational issues and, you know, you never know what butterflies on the other side of the world are working on.
Yeah, I mean, we could have a tropical storm. We could have a hurricane. You know, they form in much less time than this. Who are these people to go out and tell us that this is what's going to happen 3 weeks in advance? Oh. They have no way of knowing. It's got to be just a total guess. And by the way, we do have Debbie, who is a tropical storm, I believe, in Florida right now. And I just read this. It's the fourth named storm because it's a letter D, A, B, C, D. Usually you don't get the fourth named storm until the middle of August. So we are something like 2 months ahead as far as hurricane names, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, I heard about Debbie on this over here, over Euronews or something like that. It doesn't sound promising, let's say.
It would have been great if Debbie swung over towards Texas so they could say...
How hard it is to comprehend.
Making a really good joke here and you can't hear it.
It's not hard at all to comprehend, I don't think, having grown up around here where that's what...
So if Debbie went over to Texas, you could say Debbie did Dallas or whatever. Okay, that was the only thing I had to say.
That's a different movie.
I know, but it's not going that direction anyway. I think it's going out to sea, so Atlantic Ocean. But yes.
Football, it's not as complicated as people might think who haven't grown up around it and playing it.
Well, tell us how it's not complicated.
Well, all those things you were talking about are not as complicated, I don't think, as baseball is for me or
okay, see, this is what I don't get. There aren't all these different leagues that meet each other, and I didn't mention this, but the bottom teams in the league wind up being relegated to the league below them for the next season, so you can actually move up and down through leagues. We don't have anything like that. We don't have nearly as many teams. I don't know how teams can figure out where they're supposed to be playing because there are so many different possibilities, whether it's for the cup, for the league, an international competition,
I'm talking about
the
game as such. I mean, having lived a few years in the U.S., I tried watching baseball on TV and American football, and it makes no sense.
Oh, you mean the rules? Yeah, the rules are fairly... Although, I have to say, the offside rule in football is really kind of hard to grasp for me, which basically says that you can't have an attacking player closer to the goal than a defending player at the moment that a ball is passed to them. And I sort of understand the point, but I just don't get how you can possibly keep an eye on all the players to know that they're in the right place when the ball is being passed to them. I'm not sure how you do that.
Oh, that's what the sideline judges are there for.
The sideline judge does that, yeah, but is he watching all the players at once? How does he know which one it's being passed to until they actually get it?
It doesn't really matter, because if there's someone who's offside and the ball gets passed and they get it...
Uh-huh.
Well, apparently they were offside when it was passed to them.
And couldn't another team, the defending team, keep players from scoring goals by simply moving further and further away from the goal so that no player can be beyond them to receive a pass? You know what I'm saying?
Well, but if no player is beyond them to receive a pass, someone would go from the attacking team, would go with the ball towards the goalie on their own without any defense.
Well, that's the theory, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I think they should try it once and see if it actually happens that way.
Let me tell you, it's not as complicated. It is how it would work, because you don't need to be passing offsides,
uh-huh.
What I'm saying, because if there's no one between you and the goalie except your teammates and you're all attacking, you just take a shot and maybe get
it. It just seems like it wouldn't be quite as easy. But, you know, it's fascinating how this game got so popular. I don't know whose idea it was to say, no, nobody can use hands. You know, we're just going to not have hands and just use feet. And how that became so popular.
The thing about the game is it's easy for kids to get into, because all you need is a ball and a pair of shoes, and you don't even need sporting shoes.
But most kids have hands too, and I'm just wondering why they were told, no, don't use your hands. You know, why did that become part of the sport?
Oh, well, that's a bit too long ago for me to...
Yeah. I'm just interested by these kinds of things. And, of course, the first person to actually bounce a ball on their head, it must have been like Sir Isaac Newton or something. This, wow, this actually works. And it's fascinating. I mean, yeah, kudos to them for figuring it out. But it's just it's fun to watch, and it's fun to see the reaction of people.
As opposed to rugby and American football, which is something very strange to me.
Rugby at least seems a bit more hands-on than American football, which is just filled with timeouts. And even though people are completely, you know, dressed up with protective gear, they still get crippled because it basically involves banging your heads into other people's heads. And, yeah, that's going to hurt after a while.
Yeah, I'm not so... As I say, I tried watching a few games over the years I spent there, and I couldn't figure out what on earth they were doing, and talking voices on the TV were not of much use for that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I kind of gave up on that.
It's true. You know, but I have to say, of all the sports, I can't believe we're still talking about sports, but of all the sports, I prefer baseball because anything can happen and there's no ticking time clock. And football does have that. All football versions have time running out. And, you know, several games that I saw, basically the losing team knew they were losing. They knew there was no way they were going to win the game because there's only 2 minutes left. Whereas in baseball, you know, as long as you don't get any outs in the bottom of the ninth inning, you can always come back and just keep
hitting. I have no idea what any of those baseball terms mean anyhow.
I didn't really use any. All I said was bottom of the ninth inning and get hits. I mean, it's a lot more than that. But Bobson, we're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time, unfortunately. And I didn't get to take any more phone calls because this conversation was just too interesting. So thanks for that.
Thank you for that, and have a great night. And also thanks to the people who managed to get the stream up on the net in time for Off the Wall tonight.
Oh, was it not working?
It is. I'm listening in.
Okay. I thought they fixed it. It wasn't working. But great. Yo, thanks, everybody, for keeping the place running. Bobson, we'll talk to you again another time.
Yep. Have a great night.
You too. All right, and thanks, everybody, for calling in. I'm sorry we didn't get to the other calls, but you can write to us, otw@2600.com, and maybe we'll read your letter over the air, and just imagine what kind of a thrill that will be. I have to say, last week I said something. I got a lot of heat for this. I played what I call the number one hip-hop song of all time, and, you know, it is listed as number one hip-hop song of all time. Of course, I'm referring to Smouse and Slap Your Elbow. But apparently the source of that information was Smouse and not anybody else. And so it actually apparently was not the number one hip-hop song of all time. Okay, fine. But we are going to play the follow-up to it, which came out a bit of time afterwards. And I think there won't be any argument about this, but this was universally panned as something that was just not nearly what people were expecting after such a smash. I mean, it was a smash hit, but this song apparently drew the ires of the haters out there, and nobody really gave him a chance after. It's kind of a sad story, actually. We'll look up Smouse, Smouse, one day and learn something about musical history. Until next week, Emmanuel, have a good night, and we'll see you again. Good night.
Yeah, Smouse and them animals are doing it big. So if you got a zoo in your city, I want you to visit it. If you like animals, you're gonna love the zoo. Yeah, this is Smouse.
You at the animal zoo. I said that you at the animal zoo.
I love the zoo.
Yeah.
That lion,
that lion,
that roar,
that roar,
that polar bear lives next door,
next door.
Toucan in the big
tall tree,
that lazy chimpanzee.
You gotta swim like a dugong, bite like a crocodile, run like a cheetah,
and eat her,
yeah,
and eat her.
Smouse and them animals are doing it big. You at the animal zoo, I said that you.
You gotta walk like an elephant, run like a beaver, yeah, beaver.
You at the animal zoo, I said that you at the animal zoo.
I own the zoo,
yeah, it's the animal zoo, the animal zoo. I'm getting you at the animal zoo.
Shout out to all my animal friends, the lemur,
yeah,
the gorilla, can't forget about the meerkat. To the pigs,
real tall pigs,
sloth, I love that sloth,
we love
looking at you, the tree panda,
yeah, tree
the armadillo
panda.
With the crazy ass armor,
yeah, know what I'm saying,
yeah. And if I've forgotten yeah. anyone, forgive me, let's do this again, animals,
you at the animal zoo,
I'm at the zoo,
I said that you at the animal zoo,
I'm at the zoo,
yeah, it's the animal zoo.
Brooklyn Zoo, San Francisco Zoo, Santa Barbara Zoo, all them African zoos, England Zoo, there's zoos all over the world, you gotta get to a zoo.
Hey kids, Finn with you. Finn's Revolution on WUSB Stony Brook until the 9 p.m. hour. Tonight we're going to be talking to special guest Ed Crawford. That's right, Ed from Ohio, from Firehose. And we're going to be talking about Firehose and his new band, Food, and maybe a giveaway or two. Stay tuned. Kids, that's right. Just a few minutes from now, Ed from Ohio, Ed Crawford, is going to be on the air with us. So we're going to get in the mood for it by listening to a little Firehose and a little Food right now on WUSB Stony Brook.
Like an X, Lord, like it like that, yeah, like it like that. Now we can X, Google, dang, how you do that, well, how you do that. You for you, now that's a you for me too. Yes, sir, learn your rap. Well, learn your rap. Oh, now the future's bet makes a teacher fret. She get in the outside. Yeah, hey, outside. We'll be right back.
anyway.
Like a Leaf in the Wind from the band Food, and that was lead singer Ed Crawford, and before that, some stuff from his previous and sometimes current band Firehose as well. We're going to be talking to Ed in about 4 or 5 minutes, and I need you to stay tuned for that. We're going to hear, in the meanwhile, another tune from the brand new Food EP, which is called Four Pieces from Candyland, and this is called You Don't Know, right here on WUSB Stony Brook. When we come back, we should have Ed from Ohio on the phone.